www.mercyfamily.com.
Well, Merry Christmas, everyone. Come on, Merry Christmas. We have a white Christmas outside, but it's not the kind of white we anticipated. The white is in the fog instead of on the ground, but at least we got that going for us, which is nice. So, Christmas Eve, we're going to talk about Jesus a little bit, but I've got a question for you, and I'm going to take some answers, okay? So, what kind of things do you think would happen if a king were about to be born these days? Okay, what are the kinds of things that you think would happen if a king was about to be born these days? Put your hand up so I can see where your answer's coming from. Come on. What do we got back there? Okay, nothing. Yes. Paparazzi, okay? Lots of people taking photos. Probably would break the internet, yep. Gifts, lots of gifts, probably really good gifts, I would think, right? A lot of news about it, definitely. Ceremonies, right? Any other ideas? Gifts, yep, we got that. People like traveling to go see him, that sort of thing. Yeah, a lot of people going there trying to check out this newborn king. Lots of people, right? Lots of people coming. Any others? Any other thoughts? What else might happen? Music. Music. Sure. That'd be cool, I think. I would think, like, if a king were about to be born, one of the things you could expect was that it was going to be, like, the best doctors there, right? Like, all the best doctors in the kingdom or in the world would be there. It would probably take place in a, like, a fancy palace, right? That would probably be the case. There'd be lots of helpers. Lots of helpers for the mom. Lots of helpers for the baby. There would be, yeah, presents. I think we got that. Gifts, a celebration. Maybe even a parade might be possible. A grand announcement, right? TV, media. It's going to be all over Facebook and Twitter and Snapchat and things like that. That's what I would expect. You know, and I don't know, for whatever reason, I have in my mind stuck this image of like something that would happen in England. There would be like tea and crumpets. I don't know why. Royal fanfare, tea and crumpets. That would be part of a king. That's what I would think. A newborn king would be a really huge deal. An incredible celebration that the whole world would probably know about. Word would spread everywhere. It would be just like Simba and the Lion King, right? The whole kingdom would come and celebrate the birth of the king. Well, all of Israel was waiting for the promised one, the Messiah, the Savior, to arrive. He was going to be a king. And really, it wasn't just all of Israel who was waiting. The whole world was waiting. They all needed him. We all needed him. And then it finally happened. Right? The birth of the Savior, the arrival of the promised one, it actually occurred. But it didn't go quite like the picture that we have in our mind about what would happen if a king was born. It didn't go like that, did it? There was no tea and crumpets. There was no royal fanfare. There was no big parade or celebration. In fact, if you think about it, only a few people even knew that the Messiah was born. Like Mary and Joseph, obviously, they kind of knew. Probably their friends and relatives or anyone that they might have told about the angel Gabriel visiting Mary and telling her she was going to have a baby that was the Savior. And also, you know, Joseph had his dream and God told him this was his plan. So if they shared that with other people, those people would know. The shepherds in the fields, they would know. The magi, the people that we typically call the wise men coming from the east. But that was about it. That was about it. And so I was thinking about that as I read this part of the Christmas story, or this part of the birth of Jesus in Luke chapter 2, and it's verses 1 through 7, here's what it says. At that time, the Roman Emperor Augustus decreed that a census should be taken throughout the Roman Empire. All returned to their own ancestral towns to register for this census. And because Joseph was a descendant of King David, he had to go to Bethlehem in Judea, David's ancient home. He traveled there from the village of Nazareth in Galilee. He took with him Mary, to whom he was engaged, and who was now expecting a child. And while they were there, the time came for her baby to be born. She gave birth to her firstborn son. She wrapped him snugly in strips of cloth and laid him in a manger, because there was no lodging available for them. Now, here's something that kind of struck me as I was reading through the stories of Jesus' birth this week and kind of preparing for this weekend. And, you know, there's quite a bit that's written about what took place surrounding Jesus' birth and his coming. But this is the only passage really that mentions his birth specifically and talks about his actual arrival. And since this is the night that we typically kind of reflect on the birth of Jesus, I thought this would be a great passage to focus on. And specifically, it's really like one verse, verse 7. It says that once Jesus arrived, she wrapped him snugly in strips of cloth, which we often refer to as swaddling cloths or swaddling clothes in the song, and laid him in a manger because there was no lodging available for them. So, why was he wrapped in swaddling cloths? Well, swaddling cloths were pretty common in Jesus' day, and they're still used to a certain extent these days. Basically, these are just strips of cloth that are wrapped snugly around a baby to provide a sense of safety and warmth and protection and security. It's believed to help a newborn transition into the world by kind of replicating what it was like to be held close and firm in the mother's womb. So we know that even in this really unusual birth of this Savior, Jesus was well cared for. He was well cared for. Any baby in Jesus' time would have been wrapped up in this fashion. But of course, Jesus wasn't just any baby, he was the Son of God, Emmanuel, God with us. The fact that his life began with him being wrapped in strips of cloth and being cared for just like any other baby, that's actually pretty important. Because even though Jesus was fully God, he was also fully human. He was weak and fragile and dependent on his mother and father, just like any one of us are as a baby. When he stepped out of eternity, he came to dwell among us. He came in the likeness of us in every way, even at his birth. So being a baby wrapped in swaddling cloths, that was not unusual, but it does tell us something important about Jesus. But what about laying him in a manger? Well, that part was not so common. Why was he laid in a manger? Well, a manger, that was like an animal's feeding trough, right? Why would they put him there? Well, partly because it was all they had available to them. Mary and Joseph did the best they could with what they had. But also, this would be an easy way for the shepherds to identify Jesus when they came looking for him, right? The angel said, look for a baby in a manger. Not going to see that every day. Now, we wouldn't even think of putting a baby in such conditions these days, would we? I mean, it's far too unsanitary, right? We have babies in hospitals. That's the plan. Or maybe at home if you arrange for like a home birth or something like that. It's doubtful that any hospital would even let these dirty shepherds in the room with the newborn babies. They were probably full of dirty wool and sheep's poop. Who knows what kind of germs and disease they would track in. But you know what? The place where Jesus was born, These guys might as well go right on in, because the place where Jesus was born was probably full of this stuff too. She gave birth to her firstborn son. She wrapped him snugly in strips of cloth and laid him in a manger because there was no lodging available for them. Why was there no room available for them? The town was busy. We understand that. We know that from the story. You would think that someone would be considerate enough to make space for a woman having a baby. But no, they didn't. No one did. The town was packed. The places they could have stayed were full. That likely would have included like the home or homes of any of Joseph's family who might have lived in the area. They probably gave the guest rooms to the older people, the elders in the family. She and Joseph were young. They'd be fine down there with the animals. This was the birth of Jesus, the newborn king. Nothing at all like the picture we have of a king being born. Nothing at all like what we would expect. And you know what? I was thinking, if it all seems a little bit too unreal, a little like surreal, or maybe even a bit gross, well, that's because it is. But here's something I think we should keep in mind. This was how God wanted it to happen. This was how God wanted it to happen. And here's, I'm going to give you a big long point today, right? It's up there on the screen. This scene, Jesus' birth, might appear to be a disaster. It's not fit for a king, but it's exactly what God wanted it to be. Right, so God wasn't up in heaven shaking his head going, oh, dang that Joseph. He had 9 months to book a room in Bethlehem, and now my son's going to be born with the animals. No, none of this was by accident. The census, the travel, the lack of a room, the swaddling cloths, the manger, it was exactly how God wanted it to be. Jesus, the Savior, would come from very meager beginnings. No fancy hotel, no swanky accommodations, not even a room for his family to stay in when he was born. This was how God wanted it to happen. This scene might appear to be a disaster. It's not fit for a king, but it's exactly what God wanted it to be. God chose parents for the promised one that were not upper class, not some kind of noble origins, or at least as far as recognition and status goes. Mary was an unmarried teenage girl, and Joseph was simply a local carpenter. That's how God wanted it to happen. God chose for his son to be born in a simple place, not some palace filled with the finest things. He chose a stable of sorts where Jesus lay in a manger resting among the animals. This was how God wanted it to happen. God chose to reveal his promised one without any royal notoriety or fanfare from the leaders of his people. God didn't reveal the Messiah to the religious rulers of Jesus' day. Instead, he revealed him to shepherds in fields nearby and to the Magi in the east who came from far, far away. This was how God wanted it to happen. They all came to the place that God chose. Bethlehem. Someplace small, someplace quiet, someplace out of the way, at least quiet by relative standards, say, compared to the big city of Jerusalem nearby. Because God wanted to do something here that would change not just the course of history, but it would change all of eternity for anyone who would believe. That's where and how the arrival of Jesus took place. And she, Mary, gave birth to her firstborn son and wrapped him in swaddling cloths and laid him in a manger because there was no place for them in the inn. This was how God wanted it. And again, this scene might appear to be a disaster. It's not fit for a king, but it's exactly what God wanted it to be. We're going to sing a few songs coming up next, and you're probably familiar with what we do now, right? After the message, we light the candles and we sing together with candlelight, and we're going to do that. We're going to go ahead and do that. I want to encourage you to pull your candles out, and we're going to do it. But these songs, and hey, Megan, can you get that started? These songs that we're going to sing, they reflect this picture of exactly what God wanted it to be. I'm not saying that every song is perfectly accurate that sort of thing. We know that Christmas songs sometimes are a little bit on the creative side. But on the other hand, these are songs of worship that we can sing about Jesus and his birth and what took place and how it took place the way that God wanted it to be. So as the candles are being lit, I would encourage you to join in as Bob and the team are going to lead us in some songs, and let's sing and worship together.
Thanks for listening to the podcast of the Portico Church in Oshkosh, Wisconsin. You can find out more about our church at porticocommunity.com.